just glad you came out on this Wednesday night to worship with us. If you weren't here the first time, it was a great experience. It was a very peaceful, calm time to just worship the Lord. And I think that's really the goal on Wednesday nights, is just to have a nice, intimate moment with Him and to worship Him in a way that in the middle of the week you need. I know a lot of times I say same story over and over. You know, weeks can be tough. I've had one of those weeks that's been worse than a lot of weeks. And it's a learning experience, this journey that we're on. And you know, it can be tough. It can be tough. Sometimes I don't even want to think about the road I'm on, and I want to just be mad at everything. But we're going to sing a song that I hadn't sung in a while, and it's called 10,000 Reasons, and I thought about it a minute ago, and you know, it's never that bad. There's 10,000 reasons why it's not bad. We serve a God who loves us and is always there for us, and He's always got our back. And as much as hard as it is sometimes for us to live our daily lives and always focus on that, I know for me, I want to change that. And I just hope tonight you just worship God and have that intimate moment with Him. If you'll just stand and we'll sing.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Sun comes up. It's a new day dawn. It's time to see Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord, oh my. love this intimate setting because I know we feel like we can share our hearts. We share our hearts on Sundays too, but it's different in this kind of setting to get really real. And so I just wanted to take the opportunity to get really real with you. God has just been doing a lot in my heart the past several days. And, you know, sometimes you know that you kind of need a little heart surgery, but you really don't know until you don't know that you need something until you get it. You know what I'm saying? And Joey, you actually prompted this. I think it was this Saturday when you had posted about paying attention. And he was referencing and giving the example that we can pay attention to the foods that we eat and be really, really great about it. And then we'll start letting a little slip. And we'll just pay less attention until, you know, those foods kind of eventually start hurting our bodies. And we're like, whoa, I need to pay a little more attention to that. And you weren't just talking about food. You were talking about the things that, the spiritual things, the other things that we feed ourselves. And as soon as I read that, Joey, I was just immediately convicted. And I know even the day before, I'd spent the day with Dad and Jet, and every little thing Jet did kind of just got on my nerves in a really bad way. But I kept putting this stuff on him. Oh my gosh, he is so whiny. Oh my gosh, he is so this, so this. When I read that and God convicted me, suddenly Jet was not my problem. I realized it was right here, and I was sharing that. We were on our way to Brian's wedding, and I was sharing that, and of course, Dad immediately just said, Jet was never the problem. You were the problem. And sometimes I want to say that, and I received that from him. He knows he can speak into my life that way. But some, you know, I could have heard that Friday when I was dealing with it, but maybe I couldn't have heard it when I was dealing with it. Sometimes we think we can hear the things and we're not ready to hear it. But so I wrote down some things in my life that I needed to pay attention to. And I wrote down four things. I wrote down, pay attention to your daily discipleship. What am I feeding myself? And, but to be aware of what I'm putting into my life spiritually. What am I being proactively feeding my spirit? And the other thing I wrote down was, pay attention to your gratitude level and when it gets low. And then the next two things were to pay attention to my reactions and to my perspective. But then if I get those first two things in order and I pay attention to what I'm feeding myself and where my gratitude is, you know, my reactions are what they're supposed to be. And my perspective is a heavenly perspective and where it's supposed to be. And every day I have just thought about that, Joey, over and over and over again. But to pay attention to those things. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I am, and I know we're full of the Spirit, so we're full of the fruit. I'm full of God's kindness and His mercy and His goodness. But even when I'm with Jet, to make sure that I'm aware that I am being that. We're already filled with that. So I can be mercy to him. I can be goodness to him. I can be love to him. And when I'm with, and to stop, and instead of expecting those things out of the people around me to be those things, because I already am, and you already are, but to always be aware. And so that's where God's just been working in my life. But to pay attention. Pay attention to those things, because that's what makes our relationships good, really. This next song says, we glorify your name, and it says, the highest praise is yours. The highest praise belongs to him above everything else. My gratitude and thankfulness needs to overflow with praise to him. And that's where it starts. And every other thing is just the good stuff. Amen.
We glorify
Thank you, Lord. We seek after you. We run after you, God. We thank you, Lord, that everything good flows from you, God. Everything good, Lord, flows from you. So we run after you. And we thank you, God.
Nothing greater than your love that holds my life. Your sometimes I don't understand why some days are so much difficult, more difficult than others. Days you really, really try to have three positive thoughts for every one negative, but it seems like for every one positive, I can find another negative. And I'm really thankful for all of you and all of our relationships and how good they are. And when you let God shine through you and speak to you and remind you that it's okay. It's okay to have a bad day. And I realize that it gets so bad when there's still an aspect of self involved in the I'm gonna be better and I'm gonna find a positive thought. There's something good in this situation. I know it, but I'm still not allowing for some reason the Spirit to show that to me. I've got my list. I'm writing down all the good things in this terrible situation, but I'm not breaking through. And I realize sometimes it's not too late, never too late. But not being aware and not paying attention to the Spirit inside of me. So I can't, or I don't allow myself to act like God in situations. And I don't allow myself to feel His Spirit inside of me. And I'm so thankful to be reminded when I come to this place and when I look online and I see people's motivation and inspiration of what God's sharing with them that we share with each other to overcome these hurdles, to remind me that I'm not seeking enough. And so tonight, I just want to let it go. And if there's something you're holding on to, there's a little bit of self involved, there's something that's going on this week that you just can't shake, you can't get it off your mind, can't get it off your heart, you want to react to it, God, that's my prayer tonight, that we can just shed it, let it go. We do have a choice, and it does require that choice to say, I'm going to let go before you come in. God, we invite you here. We know you're here. I'm thankful that you're here, and it's more than just your presence in the room. God, you are inside of us, and I just pray that tonight we feel that and we can tap into that, Jesus. And we're about to sing, the more I seek you, the more I find you, and that's the closest truth that I can see for myself tonight, and that may be the closest truth you find for this moment. So God, we seek you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're looking for you. We are letting go. We're laying down. We are inhaling you. We want to be overwhelmed by you, God. Give us all of your wisdom, all of your love, all of the strength, all of the grace that we're missing when we choose not to shed ourselves. We are yours, and it's because we are yours that we can be you. So just fill our spirits up tonight. That's why we're here.
The more I seek you, I'm
Kitty just play softly for a moment. You guys can go down, but I want you to, she's not going to play the whole time. I'm going to ask her to come down and give a testimony in a moment, but I want you to listen to this keyboard. It's brand new. Listen. Good. Wow. Yeah, she's good. Gonna ask if the eldership, if you'd kind of at least sit on this front row right here for me, Dusty and Spencer. I want you to come down, and Penny and Will. what name? I can't remember. Will. He's on the front row. Just do that for me, and. My heart's really full tonight. Been full all day in a really good way. I'll share some things with you in a few moments of why it's so full. But I want to, let me just start with saying this. Tonight we're going to do two things in the prophetic. I'm going to call some of you down. I'm going to give you probably a more in-depth prophetic word of encouragement and exhortation. Some I'm just going to give a quick word to. Don't get discouraged if I don't call you down. Just hang around, and we'll get with you to you over the next couple of months. And it may happen one Sunday morning, and I'll share a little bit of that with you in a few moments. But I want to let me kind of lay a real quick foundation about the prophetic, because just what it really is. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but we'll all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. God always laid a high premium on prophecy. Matter of fact, even in the Old Testament, when they came to Moses one time and they were disgruntled and they said, you know, there's people prophesying in the camp. Moses said, I wish to God that all his people were prophets. I wish they would all prophesy because they speak words of exhortation and comfort and edification. When a prophetic word is given, it's always exhortation, it's always comfort, it's always upbuilding. Very seldom it's a word of direction. It's usually a confirmation to a person, or it can be something kind of that leads them in a direction, but it's most of the time it's never real directive in a person's life. I've never been a prophet that gave a lot of directive words in people. Usually it's confirmation or edges them or pushes them more into. I want Barbara to come down, and I know she stayed back there, but I want her to come down. The last time we were here was talking last night, and I had people to stand up who just needed a yes and a no, and I didn't have that particular unction that night to give that kind of thing. I believe everybody who stood up got their yes or no or wait, whatever you might have heard. But Barbara actually was hurting so bad that night she had to go home. But when the five people stood up, she said, yes, yes, no, no, wait. Just like that, it hit her. And sometimes that's the way it is. But there's a scripture. Paul said this to Timothy. here are the instructions for you based on the, listen, the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well the Lord's battles. Another translation of that is war a good warfare over the prophecy spoken over you. There's, you know, I don't know if years ago, if every prophetic word I ever gave was 100% right on. I'd like to think they were. I think most of them were. I really do. I believe that way most of them were. I believe that if you don't war a good warfare over the prophecies, that God may speak encouraging exhortation to you and promises to you and blessings to you, but there's something you have to do to war that out and make sure that comes to pass in your life. There's some things that God could say to you that he says it in his word. He gives us promises here, but if we don't do certain things, those promises don't come about. So I just... It can't, you know, it's not a given that God speaks a prophetic word to you, which is, the difference is, it's very personal, it's very rhema. Rhema means it's very alive, it's different, it's not, it's, you say, well, is it really God speaking? Yes, it is. If I can't say that, there's no need in going with it. I mean, what's, you know, a prophecy is foretelling and forthtelling the word of God, the will of God. And it's way more forthtelling the will of God than foretelling the will of God. But the foretelling often goes hand in hand with the forthtelling, and that God is encouraging you and blessing you to move on. I'm going to give you one more scripture. Paul again said to Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation, the salvation of those who hear you. So there's two scriptures that Paul gave to one man, that he is to war good warfare with the prophecy spoken over him, and that there was a prophetic presbytery in which, and then eldership is a presbytery, and undoubtedly Timothy was before that eldership, and that eldership gave him prophetic words. So when I mentioned Sunday morning prophetic presbytery, the reason I asked these people to be here, because as we minister to people, they have a word to give you. I want them to feel free. There's a microphone here. It is taped, and I want you to receive it. Kitty's going to give a testimony in a moment about warring a good warfare. Before she does, I want to stir up some good memories for you. I'm not going to read all of these. But I want to show you. I want you to see how the prophetic works and how that it's true and how that. Let me read some things to you. This is a prophecy. These are prophecies given to me, and I did this because you've been with me all those years, so you will know. Was this right or wrong, true or not? Did it or didn't it? And let's see, he said, this was given 1986. Son, for a long time now, many months, has been something happening inside of you that you haven't quite understood, and you've said at times, Lord, I don't even hardly know myself. And there's something about going on inside of me, and God, I don't know what that is, but there's a stirring inside of me, and I'm not sure of what it is. The Lord said, I've been causing these stirrings to go inside of you, but it's been like contained inside. It's like a shell and hasn't been able to break free. But the Lord says today, I release that anointing, and there's going to come a flow of my prophetic word out of you. For today, the Lord says, I give you a dual anointing. I put a double anointing on you today. For the Lord says, I'm going to give you the heart of a pastor. I'm going to give you the wisdom of a pastor. But the Lord says, the prophetic anointing and the voice of the prophet shall rest upon you. He went on to say, a lot more about that. But then another time, which was just a couple of days later, he kind of expanded on that word. And he says, I'm going to give you wisdom beyond your years. I want you to begin to pray and seek me. But he says, the Lord says, I'm going to give you a wisdom that's going to be beyond your years. And I'm giving you a bold task. I've given you a task to defeat the enemies of the kingdom. And I've got an anointing upon you like David. and you're not yet ready to go into Israel. You're just at Hebron right now. But the Lord says there's going to come a time when I'll bring you into Israel, and you'll rule, and there'll be anointing on you like David. And the Lord says, so I put a heart in you. I've watched you. I've kept my eyes on you. And the Lord says, you're my prophet. I've put a prophetic anointing upon you, and I'm going to show you things. And the Lord says, and yet you're my pastor. And the Lord says, you'll never beat my people. I'll never allow you to beat them. The Lord says, you begin to use a prophet's authority, but you say, Lord, if I stand and speak like a prophet, won't the people of God be hurt? Will I hurt the people? And the Lord says, my son, I'll make you a prophet against Babylon, and you'll not use the prophetic anointing to hurt my people. You'll not be used to whip my people into shape. You'll love them. And it just goes on and on. It expands on stuff like that. Another word was given by a prophet which mentored Randy Adler. And just to show you, most prophecies that you get, everyone after that will be the same thing. There won't be much difference in them. This is what Bill Hammond said. He said, I granted you the desire of your heart and your request about a year and a half ago and prayed that God would give you a pastor's heart, give me a shepherd's heart, give me the heart. And the Lord says, I did. But see, the shepherd's heart aches, doesn't it? You found out that you found your heart aches. You've got involved. You've seen sorrow. You've seen grief. And you've seen pain. And your heart has been touched. And you said, Lord, I need it. The Lord said, yes, I've given you, yes, the shepherd's heart. But yes, that shall not be your main portion or your mainstay, but the prophetic mantle shall rise on thee, and you shall stand as a prophet in the land, and you shall be a prophet shepherd, says the Lord. And that's kind of directed my life over the last 20 some odd years. That's been just a real directive thing that I don't know that I was disobedient to the Lord for a period of time. I'm the first to tell you, there's one thing in here I didn't read, but he said that you will not be afraid to stand before people and say I was wrong. You'll not be afraid to stand before people and show your humanity. And I think if you've been here over the years, you've seen that that's been, so some people have even come to me and said it's your downfall. You're too honest or too this or that, but I don't think so, and I don't think anybody else really thinks that either. But let me read. This was one to me and Barbara, and just one thing he said that's talking about some things that's going to happen, but he says it's going to take a while to do it. The Lord says you're going to have to get the mentality of a long-distance runner. You're going to have endurance. You're going to have to pace yourself. And this whole thing was about how this thing's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while. And you're just going to have to, I think about Eagle's Way and the longevity of ministry here, and we really have had to look at it that way. Kitty, while you're coming, she's going to give a testimony about warring a good warfare of a prophecies, and while she's getting ready to do that, Jennifer, when you've been on my heart a lot today, and I've been thinking about you, praying about you, and I know you got your surgery Friday, and as soon as you walked in tonight, the word that came to me was, the Lord one time laid his hands on a man who was blind, and the man, Jesus, he said, can you see? He said, I see men as trees walking, and Jesus laid his hands on him again, and he said, I see clearly. And I believe this surgery is going to be the second time, and that you'll be able to say this time it was complete and it was whole. And I just speak that over you, that the healing power of God, along with it's the healing power of God, period, because we've come to the realization that doctors and nurses and other people are God's inside them and God's directed by them. So we're going to believe with you that this is the second time, and it's going to be good. So.
I'm going to try to just take a few minutes and share exactly what I share with Pastor Buren, but if anybody ever wants to just sit with me for a few minutes, I have so many exciting things that God's doing in my life, and I would love to share them. This particular instance, about 20 years ago, Randy Adler, who many of you that have been here for a long time, prophesied over me that God was going to change my system so that I could travel. Well, at that point in my life, I hardly ever went anywhere, and I was like, okay, all right then. And then 15 years ago, I met Joey, and I had the opportunity to start traveling. And when God said, change my system, for those of you who suffer from motion sickness, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, then you're not going to have a clue. But I, in the past, have suffered from severe motion sickness. I would have to, when I would fly on an airplane, I would have to wear a patch that put medicine through my system. And even then, I would get very nauseated on flights. But I had this wonderful opportunity by marrying Joey to just travel all the time. And Pastor Bjorn pointed out that what I was doing was warring a good warfare. I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. But from the time that Randy spoke that over my life, every time I got on an airplane, I thanked God that on that flight, he was going to heal my motion sickness. And I never wavered from that. I mean, I knew that at some point, God was going to heal me from motion sickness. And so when we went to San Francisco a few weeks ago, I know many of you saw my pictures on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. But when you would ask me about my trip, I would say it was awesome, it was wonderful, but let me tell you the best part of my trip. And when we got on the airplane, I had on a patch, as I do, and Joey and I did not get to sit together. That was not a big deal. And I did notice on the flight that the plane kept dropping, and I noticed people getting oxygen on the flight, but I was not feeling it at all. I was, you know, playing games on the computer, you know, reading everything. And we got off the plane, and Joey looked at me, and he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. And he said, that was an awful flight. And I said, well, you know, I saw people getting oxygen, but I just thought something was going around or something. And so we didn't think anything right about it right at the moment. And, of course, we were in San Francisco and in that area, and those of you who have traveled that, you know, people would tell me all kinds of horror stories about the 17-mile drive, and you're going to be going round and round and up and down mountains, and you're going to have to take Bonnie, and you're going to have to wear your patch, and so on and so forth. So one day, after we got there, we went somewhere, and somebody said, oh, you need to go up to this other place. And we're like, okay, that sounds good. So we did not realize, and of course they didn't think to say, you're going to be going up and down and around mountains. And we started going, and we were just crazy curves. It's just not like anything around here. I don't even know how to explain if you've not been there. And Joey would look at me, and he said, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And anyway, long story short, is God completely healed me of any motion sickness problems at all. I mean, the rest of the trip, all the 17-mile drive, all the trip down the coast, we were going round and round and round, and we were just both like, is this like the most amazing thing ever? And so 20 years later, probably, I mean, we fly at least four times a year. Every flight, I would just thank God that this was the flight that he was going to heal me. And I knew he was going to heal me. And so then when I shared that with Pastor Buren, you know, he pointed out, for me, it's just like working out your own salvation. For me, that was warring a good warfare, because I knew, and I continue to thank him, that this was the flight. This was the one that he was going to heal me on. But I got lots of other stuff, if you want to talk to me.
And Kitty, when you called me the other day and we talked on the phone and you was telling me about all of that and all this other stuff, it spoke to me to war good warfare. You know, it was funny, I was telling her what happened to her, and then right back it came to me, you need to war good warfare, or the prophecy spoken over you over the years. And it reminded me of a lot of things, and I began to reach back into those things and speak encouragement to myself. See those things happen. So you never know when, you know, God's just a good God, isn't he? All the time. When I give a quick word to somebody, I'm going to pause. And if any of you guys feel something, then I want you to feel free to come up and say something to that person. Or if it's a long word or whatever it is. But anyway, I want that to happen. Cammie, you come up here. Cammie. Yeah, you can play softly, real softly, Kitty, while we... come on, Cammie. Just, I tell you what, why don't you pull up a chair for her right here? I just want to do that for her. That's all. Did I say a couple? And some of you just stand around. I just want you to stand around her as the eldership. So some really neat things is going on in your life right now. And God has been working in a mighty way over the last few years. And you've allowed him to lift your countenance. You've allowed him to, you've got a great spiritual history. I know that. I know your religious background. And you've loved your family and you loved your mom. And although you're on a different journey in a different way spiritually, you've never let that deter your relationship with her. And God honors that. And God just loves you for that. But there's great days ahead for you. There's great days ahead for your family. And the thoughts have come, and whether it's enemy or whatever they come from, but there are thoughts that come to you every now and then and try to set you back and try to tell you you're not this and you're not that. But the Lord wants you to know tonight that you're far more than any of those things, and that there's such wonderful, wonderful things that's going to happen in the future. And the Lord, and I know this is tough, and just... we'll just work through it for a moment. We know the hurt that's deep inside, and we know the pain that you suffered from losing a child. And the Lord wants you to know that there will always be a pain, but that pain will be a pain of memories. It'll be a pain of the rejoicing even at times. But the pain will never go away. It will never. There'll always be that tender spot. But it's going to be different. It's going to be... an awareness of eternity and an awareness of other great and wonderful things that's going to come. But the pain will always be there. But it'll be a good pain. It'll be a pain that won't have the consequences that it's had in the past. And the guilt and of anything, God just wants that gone. It's not, nothing's your fault. Nothing's anybody's fault. And that if you could see him now rejoicing in heaven, that there would be no words to describe it, no words. And I know this is tough, and I had a difficult time going here, but I knew I needed to. But there's going to be, the Bible says that where the desert has been, that the garden's going to flourish. And the Lord just wants you to know that your future is so, it's going to be so flourishing. I mean, it's going to be like if you could just look and envision a desert right now, and then close your eyes and open your eyes, all you would see is palm trees, all you would see is flowers, all you would see is oases, all you would see is water, all you would see is great and wonderful and mighty things. And God is just so pleased with you. He is so, so pleased with you. And he just wants you to rejoice about the days to come. Rejoice about the future. Rejoice about it. Rejoice about it. Amen. Anybody else feel anything? You
comes to mind for me is that I feel like that you've always had a spirit of timidity, and that God has not given you that spirit. That you have a lot to say and a lot to offer, and that you are more than you have ever thought you are, that you are becoming what he says you are.
Amen.
The one thing that I immediately just saw when you came up here is with you losing your son, is that God just wants you to know he hasn't missed anything. And I think as a mom, that could be a fear that he's missed out or he's missed. The only thing he's missed is pain and heartache and disappointment and suffering. But he has experienced every joy and he continues to experience every joy. And, you know, one of the things that we've been taught is that he's always been, and that he just returned, but he is still so present.
The Lord knows you're a good mom. You're a juggler. You have worn so many hats, and you're trying so hard to wear each one perfectly. But you're in balance. You're going to pick the right place to go, the right things to do, to be where you need to be. And because he sees you as a good mom, that you're going to make the right choices. But not only do you have a child that loves you, you have a husband that loves you. And he's given you the ability to keep everything in balance. Everything.
Yeah. Cherish your spiritual heritage. Cherish it. It will... mine and yours are much alike. And there's one thing with a lot of the stuff that went with it, that the Lord has always given me the ability to cherish my heritage. Cherish things I saw as a little boy. Cherish things I saw that were pretty wild and woolly, some people would think. But I've clung to those things. I've clung to them. I've let those things be positive in my life. And I just love you. You're going to gonna be good. I'm gonna give you a hug. This is God just hugging you and saying he loves you. Great days are ahead. Believe that. We'll just leave this here for when we sit down. Brandon, I would get just one quick word for you. When you was talking to me tonight about that little situation, Lloyd gave me a word years ago. And he said, I'm going to make you or duck, make your, let me just say this again. You're going to get a lot of criticism in the world. That's what the prophet said to me. You're going to get a lot of criticism in the world. But it's going to be like water on a duck's back. It's just going to roll off. And I'm a real sensitive person. But that, I cling to that word. And it's been true. I can't tell you that my wife don't even know the words that's been spoken against me in this city and things that people have said and even things that people have come to me and said that people have said. And it has truly been like water on a duck's back. It's just rolled off of me. And God's just making you that way. And these kind of words are just going to be like water on a duck's back. They're just going to roll off. They're just going to roll off. So you've made the right decision, and just go on with your life, and don't give a second thought about that. Be glad that you feel a little sensitivity to things at times, but you're going to get strong. It's going to be a good thing for you.
And don't ever feel, you know, I know you've said, I've shared this before, and you feel like sometimes you're continuing to deal with some things. But what you're doing, you're allowing God to deal with some things with you. And you and Jason, and there's some other men, young men in this house that are beginning to step into the positions of stature of men of God.
Amen.
And as you continue to be open to God and allow him to do that in you, there'll be an explosion that takes place. Because you're not just dealing with the same thing over and over and over and over. It's not that you're not allowing God to work. It's that you're allowing God to work, and he's dealing with some of those things.
Amen. Randy, first time you ever came to this church, I was talking to Michael Thurston, and he was telling me, you know, you was a friend of his, and he came, and I remember looking at Michael in the foyer, and I said, he's going to give his heart to the Lord today, so you'd be glad that, you know, you're his buddy, and you gave your heart to the Lord that day. And the words have been coming to you like you feel like you've been taking one step forward and two steps backwards, but it's the opposite. You've been taking two steps forward and one step back, two steps forward and one step back, and you're progressing, and you're going to continue to progress. And you've had some roadblocks come up, you've had some difficulties come up, and I know you know this, but thank God that you're where you are and the place you're at to go through what you went through, because you'd have never made it. You'd have never been able to go through it. God's been with you the whole time, and he's going to be with you the whole time. And just like Will just said about some young men, that you're here for a reason. You're here to, God spoke a word over this church years ago, there'd be a church of leadership. And we're not the largest body by any means. That used to bother me some. It doesn't bug me anymore, because when I look at the people in this body, when I see the maturity, when I see the strength, when I see the wisdom that's in people, that far exceeds anything else that I could possibly want to see more than that. And you're going to be part of that, just what was spoken to him, some good things. And I'm proud of you as your pastor. I really am. When it hit, my heart bled for you, and my prayer was, I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it. And I'm just proud of you. I'm proud how you were in the right place at the right time. You were getting the right counsel at the right time. And that's just how God is, how he was directing your life. And he knew the storm was coming. He knew it was coming, and so he was preparing you for it, and you know that. But Jessica, I want you to come down. And you guys stand around her again, because I like y'all standing around. It was about a year ago when you came back to church, about a year ago, and I remember in the foyer, and I remember your dad had been coming back. He came back with the I Am series, or something about that hit him, and he came and been coming ever since. And when I saw you coming in that day, I don't know what it was. It was something very significant I felt, though. It was like, it was good, but it was without me even knowing what was going on inside of you. And I remember you posting something not long after that I came back home. And that's what I kind of felt when I saw you was coming home. And there's a tremendous anointing of the Spirit upon you. You've got the boldness of your dad. You've got the courageousness of your dad. You've got the some wisdom of your dad. And you've got the sensitivity of your mom. You got your merciful side of your mom. But both of those things, when you can get the best of both worlds, that's just something really neat about that. And you've done that. You've listened. I'm sure, like any young person, I didn't know you entirely. I'm sure you had your moments and you had your days. But inside of you, there was always that commitment to your family, to your mom and your dad. There's always that commitment to God. And all of these things now just have been springing up, especially in the last year. And there is a real prophetic anointing on you. There's a prophetic anointing that you see things that other people don't see. You sense things that other people don't sense. There's a discerning of spirits in you. You can discern what's happening, what's going on. And God's going to really use you to speak words to people in due seasons. The Bible talks about that, you know, there's an opportune time, and there's a time when a person, man, they just need to hear that word that day. I want to encourage you that throughout your life and throughout the days to come, that you just, I know you're in a profession where there's a lot of talk that goes on and things that are happening in a salon. Won't you be real sensitive with the Spirit? And the Lord wants you to be real sensitive that you're going to have many moments where you'll be able. Sometimes you'll just bend over and you'll whisper in someone's ear. God will just give you the exact words to say, and you will whisper in their ear something that's going to change their life forever. It's going to give them that word in due season that they need. And those kind of words are golden. Those kind of words, there's no price you can put on them. There are moments that we never get back. And there are times that's why those kind of moments are so important. Like Jesus said when Mary Magdalene opened up the oil and she anointed him, and some disciples said, you know, this money, that should have been sold and given to the poor. And he said, the poor you have with you always. You're not going to have this moment always. She sees the moment to do right now what was not ever going to be able to be done. And because of that, it went up for memorial for her all her days. And there will be moments like that you'll be able to wash someone's feet with your compassion and your tears. Spiritually, you'll be able to do something for them that will be like Mary Magdalene Wild did for Jesus. And it will be at that moment. And you'll have that boldness to do it, the wisdom to do it, and the compassion to do it, and the gentleness to do it. And those words are going to be really awesome. You're a neat person. I know you do that crazy other stuff, CrossFit, and God bless you people who do that. But you know what? As strong as you are on the outside, you're going to be so much stronger than that on the inside. So much stronger. Because you're going to, just as you have to exercise and do certain things that push you to limits, the Spirit's going to push you to some limits. And one of the prophecies I was reading over me, and when it happened to me, I didn't remember that God had spoken this to me. But God spoke a prophecy to me years ago, and he said, if you get to the place where you've had enough, if you get to the place where you don't want to see it anymore, when you get to the place where you're tired and you want to quit, he says, you can quit. And people here know the story. I was tired one time, and I was coming off an elevator, and I saw the line of the elevator. And I had said to myself, I'm tired. And God said, there's the line. Draw the line and quit anytime you want to. And that just spurred me on. I'm saying all that to say this. These are precious words I'm giving you. But when God puts that anointing and that prophetic insight into people's lives, there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to say, God, I wish I didn't see this. Okay, I wish I didn't feel this. But come back to this and be encouraged, because I assure you that when you go ahead and step across the line, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you obeyed and went on. Yeah.
I like how Buren used early before he started with the prophecy with the people, how he talked about confirmation. Because word that he just gave you is the word I gave you just a few days ago, almost exactly, in the salon, about what to pay attention to and what how you influence people. Because when I see you, Jessica, I see a person of influence. I see a person of influence, a real leader. And we should all be people of influence, and we are, but we just determine how much of that we give out. I want you to continue to give it out and give it out more and more. Because what Buren described to you, see, when I see you, I see a person of influence and I see a person of strength. I see a lion. I do. But when I look inside the lion's eyes, I see the spirit of a lamb. Peaceful, loving, giving, all those things. That's you. That's you. You be you.
The confirmation, because you do have the prophetic anointing and you got so much discernment in you. Not everybody sees what you see, and because of that, you want to judge sometimes because you said, don't they see this? God said, walk softly. He's training you. And not only is he going to, when you begin to judge and you're going to see somebody come in, because that's the prophetic anointing and that's the discernment you begin to pick up, somebody's going to sit in your chair and you're going to have this feeling inside of you. And all you've got to do, instead of that judgmental because of the discernment, all you're going to do, you're going to walk up and you're going to touch that person. And when you touch that person, you're going to see that person in new light. And you're going to minister to that person, and you're not even going to know what they're receiving. But that, because of you touching them, it's going to flow from you to them. And like I said, God says, not everybody sees what you see. And God is training you and molding you, and he's going to direct that discernment, and you're going to know what to do with that. And listen to him, and he's going to give you the words and the wisdom and things to say to them.
God spoke a word over me one time. He said that you're going to prophesy against the Babylonian systems. And all that is just worldly systems. It's systems of the world. It's how the world does stuff. And he says, and you're going to hate Babylon. You're going to hate the systems, but you'll love the people in them. And that's what she's saying. You will see it, but you'll love the people. Amen. God bless you. Diane, the word we had from Joel Sunday, Diane, about God restored the years the canker worm has eaten, and the Lord just wants you never ever think once or twice or three times or four times, and those regrets and those things that you have felt, and you, oh, I wish this, I wish that, I wish this, I wish that. God only sees you where you are, and he says all those years he's restoring. And he's going to restore what the fruit he ate, the stems he ate, the stalks he ate, the seed he even ate. But the seed now has been sown. The blade is coming forth. The earth is breaking through with new fruit in your life. You're seeing the fruit in your son. You're seeing the fruit in other places. And you're going to continue to see the fruit. And God's blessings are just going to rest mightily upon you. You just rejoice that he is the restorer. I love that scripture. Restorer of the years the canker worm is eaten. No wasted years for the person who has given their heart to the Lord. No wasted years. There's no such thing. Amen. Samuel, why don't you come down a minute? Just have a seat. I'll be with you in a minute. Marcia, there's much more I need to say to you than what I'm going to say right now, and we'll get to that as it unfolds. But God has seen your life. He has seen that journey that you've been on. You've seen the spiritual years of commitment to him. He has seen all the good, and he wants you to know that's what he's seen, is all the good and all the lovely and all the pure. And there have been times I think you may have had a thought, you know, what am I here for? What's the spiritual significance of my life? But the Lord wants you to know your very presence when you walk into the house of the Lord, that you bring an aspect of him that nobody else has, and that there's a glory that emanates from you, and there's people all around you that are receiving of that, and you will never ever know the lives that have been touched just by your presence being there, just the gentleness of your heart, the things that God has placed there. There's many, many, many people that you'll never, never, ever know that has experienced such great and wonderful things. And there are some real neat, specific things that God's going to do in and through you in the years to come. I know we say this, the best is yet to come for everybody, but you need to hear there's a rhema word spiritually for you. The best is yet to come. And a lot of all these seeds that's been sown, the things that you've heard and been planted, they're gonna spring forth. They're gonna come forth. They're gonna blossom. Amen.
Marcia, when I came in and saw you, the word that came to my mind is that you've mellowed and been content. But that is not where you're gonna stay. There is something that's going to take place that's going to fire you up, and you're going to be reaching out in a way that you've never reached out. It's going to be new, and you're going to be dynamic, and you are going to be one awesome woman, more so than you are now. But it's going to be different and new, and just get ready, girl. You're going. Wherever that may be, you're going.
Amen. All right, guys, gather around. Just hold it, because we'll pass that around in a second. I want, Spence, I'm going to put you on the spot a moment. Just really feel led to do this. I want you to come over here a second. I want you to look at this young lady, and I just want you to speak blessings over her and whatever God just...
You know who I am at all? I was a pastor at First Presbyterian right around the corner here for 12 years. And I was pastor of a church up in Forest Park for 18 years. And then I retired, and I've been living in Griffin since Bob was pastor up there. So I'm back. And they tell me I'm not supposed to go to a Presbyterian church to interfere with the other pastors, you know. So I came here because I love Buren, and I've loved this church, and they just blessed me in so many ways. What I'm sensing about you, and I've sensed about the other people, the glory of God is coming on you. And the Hebrew word for glory is kabod, K-A-B-O-D. And what that means is heaviness. Are you feeling any heaviness right now? It hits right here, and it hits right here, and you're gonna get. He said, "Ooh, God is with me," and it's gonna knock you flat. I've been on the floor for 2 hours with the heaviness of God on me before. But you don't have to do that. I'm just saying. You ought to recognize that when the glory of God is upon you, and when He's upon you, that you feel this heaviness. And I ask you, who is this lady coming up? And I missed her name.
Samil.
But your husband died. How long ago? 8 months ago?
Yeah, close to a year.
You feel alone? He was your best friend? Nobody can take his place. But I tell you, somebody who was right there with you. The Spirit within you. You know that. He'll make you not so you feel alone, and He will encourage you, and He'll speak words to you, and He'll bring that anointing on you, and you'll know it's Him. And that's why you won't feel alone or afraid. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And He's going to give you peace. You know, I was thinking, what is it that God has done for me? And I just, one thing is I have peace. I carry it around with me. I don't care what's happening in my house. I just retired, and we're running short of money every month. You running short of money? Do you? You doing better now? Well, we are too. We're about to. But that's all right. See, God's going to prosper you. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you what He just told me. I'm God's favorite meister. You never heard of that, have you? I went to the monastery up here and I was praying. I said, God, what are you going to do next? And he started telling me how good he's been to me. And I said, yeah. And he says, I want you to be my favorite meister. I said, God, that's not even a word, you know. And he said, yes, it is. And whenever I tell you to pray favor for somebody, meister means master in German. He said, if I tell you to pray for them, I'll give them favor.
That's right.
Now, he doesn't tell me to pray for everybody, but he's just told me to pray for you. The last guy I prayed for was a veteran in Walmart. And I prayed for him. He'd been disabled for 5 years. And that week, he got a check from the government for $75,000. And Buren says, pray for me. He called me up. He wanted to be my friend forever, but I hadn't heard from him, you know. God is going to bless you. He is going to bless you more than you can imagine. So let me pray for you right now, okay? It's God's favorite meister. God, you have told me that whenever you tell me to pray for somebody, that you will grant favor to them. I mean, you just absolutely promised it, and I have never seen you fail. You're not short concerning, your arm is not short concerning your favor. And you don't break your word. And so, God, let your favor fall upon her in every way possible. And then let her see it. And she'll say, oh, Spencer said there was going to be favor in my life. And there it is. Well, there it is again. There it is again. And let me just tell you, it keeps coming. God doesn't back off. He just keeps giving and giving and giving. Because that is who he is.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Son, I really didn't know, Samil, why I called you down, because what I wanted to give you, I had given you over there. But that's why, that God wanted Spencer to pray this favor over you. Because I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. And God has been the lifter of your head, not just over the last year, not just then. Yes, God's blessing's been on you. God's grace has been mighty on you. And I know you lost your best friend. And I know the pain and the suffering that you went through with that. But before that ever happened, over the last 7, 8, 9 years, I've watched your countenance lift. I've watched literally your physical being lift. And the Bible says that he is the lifter of our head. And you're going to walk with boldness and confidence. And you're going to walk with a sense of a pride in a good way of who I am. And you're going to really, really, really just become aware. It's like what I'm saying to you right now is just making you aware of what God's already done in your life. Because sometimes that's what we need. We need to be aware of what's happened. And when we get aware to it, then it starts really functioning and flowing in our life. And it's going to... He has been the lifter of your head. He's taken shame from you. He's taken just stuff from you that has lifted your countenance. And he has certainly anointed your face with oil to make your face shine. And I'm just proud of you. I'm just so, so proud of you. A lot of people think I don't recognize stuff, and I look at my flock all the time. I look at my flock all the time. I look at them in the foyer. I look at them when I'm preaching. I look at them when I'm riding down the road, and they come to my mind. And it's been the lift of your countenance. God bless you.
I about to fall down around her.
She's got the same heritage that, of course, her sister has, and it's going to, it came from her. Good old Pentecostal background.
Oh, well, okay.
See, he's more Pentecostal than most Pentecostals, more charismatic, even though he's Presbyterian. But right before you give it to somebody, because I want to do it. Scott, would you and Kate come down together? Yeah, thank you. Okay, you good? We need one more chair. I told you to bring two chairs. No, I don't want to bring two chairs. No, you're not going to run. It took a lot for me to call your name out, Scott. I'll be honest with you. It took a lot for me to do that. Yeah. Because I don't know why, but but it did, but I'm glad you're here. And, y'all know you got to stand around. I've just fallen in love with you. I've watched your life. I've just been. Hadn't been around you a whole lot since you've been married to one of my adopted daughters, but you have. We're so glad that you came into her life. You came into our life. But you are a good man. A good man. And the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God loves all of his children. God loves all of his creation. But he can't look at everybody and everyone and say, that's a good person, because they haven't allowed the goodness of God to come forth. Because, see, the reason you speak that to a person like that is because it's not us. They even came to Christ one time and they said, good master. And he said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. And he wanted him to know all the goodness that ever came, it came from God. And from a child, the goodness of God has been in your life, and you've grown up with this something that is positive and something that is grateful, and you spent your life being that, and because of the goodness that's in you, that goodness is going to be translated to other people. It's going to be given to other people, because people, the Bible says that as the scripture talks about, that get around bad people, you be bad. You know, I mean, y'all know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, the opposite of that is you get around good people, you become good. You get around people that rubs off on other people. And the greatest ministry you can ever have is that. We're here Sunday morning. I thought you would. You remember at the end when I talked about Jesus said, he didn't say it, but I got to leave you because I'd rather be in you than with you. And the heart of a real father is to his children and other people, I'd rather be in you than with you. I want to know that when I'm gone, what was good in me is in you. What I've had, I've been able to impart to you. And there is osmosis impartation. It literally happens because people are around you. It happens. And that kind of impartation of goodness is going to happen because you're a good, good man. And the Lord, because of that, let me just say this, because I know that Kate prayed for a good man. And, you know, I'm getting into the theological thing, but I'll get into it just a little bit. You know, people say, well, there's the right person for me. You know, there's the person. Well, I don't believe there's the person. I believe there's a person. And that a person is the person. They can be the person. You with me? All right. So that's what happened here. A person became the person. And so in that way, God really brought you together. And Kate, I was thinking earlier tonight, the Lord just brought you really heavy on my heart, and he has been with you. and you've had some doubting moments, and you wondered, but you know he had no doubting moments, and he was with you every step of the way, and he wants you to know that there was not one moment in your life, not one moment in your life he wasn't there, and he wasn't thrilled, and he wasn't happy, and he wasn't just joyous over you as his daughter, and that he knew everything about you. He knew your ups, he knew your downs, he knew your standings, he knew your sittings, and he just wants you to know to rejoice today that his blessings are upon you. They always have been and they always will be, and there's not anything that can ever change that. It will always be that way, and he's brought you the joy of your life. He's brought you some more than just one joy of your life, and it is just so much more to come. And you know, I remember you and coming to my house, and first time we were there, and you gave up, and you finally got up and gave that little speech on how the Lord brought you here, you know. And see, that's where the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he is going to give you guys the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart he's going to give you. And there's going to be a lot of... you're going to adapt real quick to this thing. He said, I see, I have no choice. But it's going to be great. I just love you both. Love you both. Thanks for being here. All right. God bless you. Linda, I was looking through the prophecies, and Barbara had typed out so many prophecies, and there was one where you sung the song of the Lord. I bet you don't even remember that. Well, you sang the song of the Lord, and it was a 2-page prophecy that you sung.
Wow. I don't remember.
And Barbara had them all typed out, because it was like, because most of the prophetic happened on Sunday nights, and every one of it would be typed at the top. It would be Sunday night and the date. And it was like 1987, 88, 89, something like that. You're brave.
I was brave.
What happened to that braveness?
I don't know. I wanted to tell all of you that I don't generally have personal prophecies for people. But I see a lot of things in the church. The Lord shows me. A lot of times I'll know what Beard's going to preach because will have thought about it, or something would have happened to me that week that, you know, would be applicable to whatever he was talking about that I needed. But I stand here today to speak for the Lord. You know that he's the head of the church and we're his body. And Jesus said to me, tell my body, I am so pleased because I see their love, I see their compassion, I see their lack of judgment, I see their concern. You know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, or Saul was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? Well, he was talking about his church. But what he's saying about this particular body, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for taking care of my body. Thank you that you are washing my hands and my feet. Thank you that you're cleansing my body, and that you are, when you go out into the world, you are taking me, and I thank you for representing me. Thank you. You're doing a great job.
Amen. Oops, you need to turn it back on. No.
So tonight really has been about really a a visualization, a realization of who you are in Christ. That's really almost all of the prophecies have been given tonight have been really just lifting up who you are in Christ. Several months ago, my oldest son had been through a rough patch, like we all have been through rough patches at times, and lost a job and didn't know what he was going to do. And 6-7 months ago, he said, "I want to be a real estate agent." He said, "I've always really wanted to do that." And shared it with Buren, and he said, "Tell him don't despise the small things, and that this will be a new launching for him." It was a prophetic word, really, that I got from Buren, and I gave it to him. And within 6 months, the lady that owns a real estate agency came to him and said, "Two ladies are getting ready to retire. They handle the real estate-owned division, which is bankruptcies and things that, you know, where they repossess the houses, or they just don't pay for the houses and they repossess them, whatever." And she said, "There's nobody else here in this real estate agency that I would trust to do this. You're the only one." He'd been doing in real estate for 6 months. She said, "Last year I paid them $88,000 in commissions. I want you to take this job." Amen. He called me up. He said, "Dad," I told her I'd ask you. I said, "Son, walk down the hallway and tell her that you will take that job." He said, "That's what I thought you'd say. I'll be right back." But, you know, and Samil is a great daughter over there, Tip. She works with me now. You know, just don't despise the small things. She asked me to be a Facebook friend, and my first thought was, I don't accept young girls like that as Facebook friends generally unless I know why they want to be my friend. But, you know, her daddy had recently died, and I didn't know why she wanted to be my Facebook friend, but I accepted her. And then I saw where she posted she wanted to work for a veterinarian, so I said, okay, I just posted back, we do have an opening, apply for it. And I went and talked to the manager of our office, and I said, this is what I told her. I said, "I don't know Tiffany, but I know her family, and if you want good people, you need to talk to Tiffany." How long have you been there, Tiffany? 4 months. So when they hired her, they said, "Well, she can be a helper." What are you now? She's a tech now. She went through about 3 or 4 stages that normally takes people about 2 years to get through, and she's well on her way to being a certified, qualified veterinary technician, working with a great veterinarian. And it's because of the quality, Samil, that you put in your daughter is really what it is. It's a quality of Christ in you, and that's for Brandon. I mean, the people want to hang around you because of who you are, regardless of what anybody, I don't even know what conversation it was, people want to be. I love to be around Joey because of who he is. People like to be around you because of the Christ that's in you. And what this has been tonight is really an awakening to say who you are in Christ, and just to know that if we have those qualities and we're nice to people and we treat them right. And you know, my oldest son had worked for multiple corporations, had worked with Apple, had worked with multiple corporations, and then something would happen, and I would cry out to God, "Why can't these people see the quality that's in him?" And corporations can't, but the lady that owned the real estate agency could. Mm-hmm. And the first property he got listed was a $40,000 property. It wasn't a big property, you know, but he sold things, and he's doing good now, and I'm hoping that this is the lady's retiring this month, and it's all his now on. So I'm going, go, son, and go, God. You know, mm-hmm. that's what it is.
Amen. Why don't you listen real closely here? We got some neat stuff to share with you that we're going to start doing on Sundays.
We've been doing this little card for a while, and it's only been recent we've actually picked up using a connection card from a different church and different reasonings. But recently we've read the book of where the church has started using the connection card, why you use the connection card. You have 7 seconds to make a first impression on somebody. One of the reasons we made it a priority to get this outside of this building painted not too long ago. Person walks, first time visitor. We are beginning to look at them differently. We've always looked at them as a first-time visitor, but we're now looking at them as a gift from God. And what are you going to do with a gift from God? How do you greet that person? Direct that person? How do you treat them? And how do you seat them? That all takes place within about 10 minutes on a Sunday morning. And we do a real good job. We have a lot of people that greet and direct and treat with the donuts and the coffee and then get them seated. But we haven't been connecting all of the dots all of the time. So we're going to be having some instruction to some of our core folks that are doing that, some additional things that they can do. But one of the things I talked about is with your connection card, if you don't get an email address or some type of way to correspond with that person, then you're probably not going to see that person again. But if you treat them well, you might get that opportunity. Well, with that, you know, each and every week we've asked you, you know, or we didn't remind you all of the time, we're starting to do that more, but that you would fill this out. Statistical information is a first-time visitor will not fill it out if they don't see somebody else filling out a card. So if they're the only one in the room that is actually filling this out and a regular member or a regular attender, they don't see them filling out the card, they're probably not going to. We're putting some policies and some things into place of how we're going to do some emails and some gifts that we're going to have and do for them, and whether they're a first-time attender or whether they're a second-time attender. But each and every week, the offering will be at the end so that they've had time during the service to get this filled out. So sometime when Pastor gets up to begin his message, he's going to remind you about the card. I would like, when he does that, as members, core members of the church, if you're here on a Wednesday night, you're a core member of the church. We want you to fill that out. And then when the offering bucket comes by, you drop that in the offering bucket. Because if that first-time attender puts an email address on there, then we have a chance to show them the love of Christ.
Right.
In addition to what they received during that 10 or 15 minutes that morning. So, I know we've always said to do that. I want you to know that you have a reason now to do it. You may be leading someone to Christ by just filling out a card. It's as simple as that.
Amen. And just remember, go ahead.
The card has now become alive from the aspect that it's not going to be the same thing every week. There could be a couple of weeks where the same information is on there, but it's going to change. The title of the message series is on there, what activities, what events they might could sign up for. I don't know if you've seen the sign-up sheets for the yard sale and the chicken queue this week. There's only about 3 or 4 names on each of those sheets. So we are actually going to begin making some phone calls and some emails this week because with my wife's surgery on Friday and Saturday, I'm not going to be here. Jennifer was like, how are you going to do that? I said, well, we got people in the church that can handle it. They will do what needs to be done. And it will happen, but we do need those volunteers. But we will no longer have sign-up sheets in the foyer. The way that you sign up will be through this card and give that information. And now, obviously, in the office, there'll be a sign-up sheet where we take and tally this and give that, and whoever needs to know who's working for Rushton on this day will have a list to be able to give them. But this is going to be our main mode of communication.
2 years ago, I did a funeral of a young lady who committed suicide. And the only thing I had was this card. And this card said, today, I committed my life to Christ. But you can imagine what peace that gave her daddy. This was all I had. It was the only hope I had to give that girl. I didn't know her. I didn't know who she was. She'd been coming here for about a month. I never met her. Never knew who she was. So, you never know, do we? Let's stand together. Do this again next month. We're going to take July off, but, huh? July 1st. It's the first Wednesday. Everybody say first Wednesday. We're getting that down, finally. All right. God bless you. Keep your head lifted up and know that your best days are yet to come.